The title to my sermon this evening is very short. As a matter of fact, it's just one word. And that word is assurance. Assurance. And this is something that every single one of us must be acquainted with. The assurance that you know, and you know who you are. The assurance of whom you believe, who you stand with. Assurance is going to be the title this evening. And there are so many things in the life of a Christian that gives us the assurance of this, that, and the other thing. Of what? The assurance that the Lord will protect you. Protect you from the drunk driver. Protect you from illnesses. Protect you from a bad name, a bad reputation. So many things. Protection. An assurance that the Lord has the best in mind for you, no matter how tough things might be. The assurance in your God is something that I put just about in the same level as confidence. If in case you have been following us here for a while, if in case you attend here the service, potentially you might have heard me say, or talk about many times about confidence and the importance of confidence in a person. The common saying is, confidence is key. Well, confidence is key for every single one of us. Confidence in who you are in every day to day. Confidence as a believer. Well, assurance is just about right there in the same platform. If you don't have the essence of assurance of who you are in Christ, maybe that's something that we need to address this evening. And I will share with you some points, and I might continue the topic here potentially next week. But for starters, I just want to say this. Assurance comes from doing what is right. When you know you're doing something right, when you 100% are confident of what you're doing is correct, that ultimately gives you assurance. And the first verse that I want to bring to your attention this evening comes from Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. And it says this, "The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever." Now, there are several things that are mentioned right now in this verse, and I want to break them down for you because there's a key features in here that must be mentioned. First, it starts out by saying the work, correct? In the beginning of the verse, it says the work of righteousness. And that refers to the effect of prosperity. The effect of this will be prosperity. On who? The righteous. And then it speaks about quietness. And what does the word here, quietness, imply to? Tranquility. Both of mind and outward estate. And then finally, the word that's being spoken about this evening is assurance. Of what? Of God's mercy and the fulfilling of His promises. All summed together in one verse. And I'm going to repeat that for you once again. the work. The effect of this shall be the prosperity in your life. The life of who? The righteous. Quietness is what every single one of us need, which is tranquility, both of the mind and outward estate. Assurance of God's mercy and fulfilling the promises that He has in the Word. We have the assurance we can experience and possess divine nature right now, at this very moment. Can I please have 2 Peter verses 1 through 4? By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The positive side is that by these same promises, we may be partakers of the divine nature. This takes place primarily at the time of conversion. When you gave your life to the Lord, when you dedicated yourself to Him, you became a partaker of the divine, of supernatural things. And ultimately, this should have stemmed assurance in you. Then, as we live in a practical enjoyment of what God has promised, we become more and more conformed to one thing, and that is His image. For instance, He has promised that the more we think about Him, the more we become like Him. The more you spend time meditating on the Word, the more you spend time thinking about heavenly things, the more time you spend thinking about the Lord Jesus, the more you will become like your Lord and Savior. And that stems assurance. Can I bring to your attention 2 Corinthians 3:18? But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We make this promise a reality by reading the Word of God, by studying our Lord Jesus as He is revealed in it, and following Him. As we do this, the Holy Spirit changes us into His likeness, from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. And that in itself creates assurance, if in case you're wondering how to get there. And it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what you do. Believe me when I say this isn't just for the preacher. This isn't just for the leadership team. This isn't just for the Sunday school teacher. This is for every single person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are willing to follow Him, He accepts you just the way that you are. Exactly who you are. No matter what your background is. And all that you have to do, the very first thing that you must do is have a willing mind. And I spoke about this at length this morning. I spoke about Abraham and how Isaac had died to Abraham 3 days prior to him getting to Mount Moriah. The Lord gave him an instruction, done. No questions asked. Consider it done, Lord. Matter of fact, it's already done. It's already done, Lord. But the Bible says what? And I always, I stop and my mind just wanders every time I come across this particular passage, and it's throughout the Bible. The Bible says, and Abraham got up early the next day. And I think about, how early did he get up? Because for the most part, I like to sleep in a little bit. So when I get up early for something, I mean, I'm halfway groggy and everything like that. But when I'm anxious, like when I was a kid, Christmas Day, oh, you get up early for that. Matter of fact, you have a hard time going to sleep the night before. I wonder if that's the way Abraham was. The Bible says that he got up early. Let's go. We got something to do. And that little something was kind of a big deal. A huge deal. But the point that I'm trying to make, back to the main subject here. It starts with a willing mind. Can I please have 2 Corinthians 8:12? For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. It does not matter who you are. It does not matter your background. It doesn't matter if you went to Bible college or not. You just have to have a willing mind to serve your God. And he is faithful to come through and through every single time. The attitude, your inward attitude, is what speaks the most. The widow's mite was unacceptable, and even more so than all the rich men who cast into the treasury. Are you familiar with the story? The widow, she had one piece of, I'll just call it money or jewelry. It is all that she had. It was her everything. And what she did, her willingness to give to the Lord, to give to the temple as an offering, was above and beyond the huge, drastic amount from what everybody else had done. Because it was not a sacrifice. It was not given out of love and purity. It was left over. That's the willing mind that I'm talking about. A cup of cold water given to a prophet is noticed by the Lord God. And the Lord has promised that he will reward a cup of water. The present sent by the Philippians to the Apostle Paul, in which perhaps was not very large, was an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to the Lord God Almighty. We read about this in Philippians 4:18. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from the Epaphroditus. Yes, we'll go with that. The thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God, to the Lord God Almighty. Praise the Lord. So, no matter how small, no matter how big, whatever you do, do it with all your might. Do it with a willing mind. This is all that it takes, and the Lord will accept it from you. And it's also important for you to know, being as though we're still on the topic of assurance, right? Rest assured that God keeps us from falling. God keeps every single one of us. He always makes a way. Can I please have Jude 1:24? Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Praise the Lord. The Lord our God, he is able to keep you. He is able to watch over you, to care for you. He is able to guide your path. He is able to discern every single thing so all will go well with you. This is an assurance that we all should have in the Lord our God. Why? Because the Lord our God has already given us the victory to overcome. This next verse that I'm going to present to you now is one that I used this morning, which is 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning I spoke about faith. Faith. Through faith in the Lord Jesus, we have victory over every single thing, including death and the grave. Death is robbed of its sting. It is a known fact that when certain insects sting a person, they leave their stinger embedded in the person's flesh. And being thus robbed of their sting, they die. In a real sense, death stung itself to death at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now he is robbed of his terror as far as the believer is concerned. That includes you and I. This is an assurance that all of us should have, that we are more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. Victory is ours through the blood of Jesus, through the name of Jesus. That alone should be assurance 100% for every single one of us. And the Lord, he is faithful. He will lead us. He will lead us to and in the path of righteousness, if we just follow him wholeheartedly. And my next verse comes from a very popular verse that we all know, and that's Psalms 23, verses 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. God is the one who started the good work that is in you, and he will complete it 100%. And for my closing verse here this evening, I would like to bring to your attention Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Praise be to his holy, holy name. Praise the Lord. I hope with all the references that I have brought this evening that you have hope in your God, that you have assurance in your God. Know that his mercy endures forever. Have assurance in your Maker. Have assurance in his word. He is faithful. He is just to come through. Praise God. There's one final thing that I would like to do here this evening. I would like to finalize with a word of prayer. And specifically, I want to pray for our state. The governor of the state has said, many things that should not be said. We respect the authority. We respect their office. And I am confident that he has the best in mind for the people of the land. Nonetheless, he has said certain things that could potentially be translated as curses for us. He mentioned that in, was it 1 month? Or in 2 weeks. He mentioned that in 2 weeks, we will be just like or just as bad as New York and New Jersey as far as this coronavirus is concerned. And I rebuke those words in Jesus' name. Amen. We will not be like New Jersey, and we will not be like New York or any other state, as a matter of fact. And I want to come against these words right now. And for all of you right now watching, I pray that you will join me right now with all sincerity, with all belief, with all assurance that the Lord will turn it around right now. And for the four of you who are here, also agree with me, or just over that, about a handful. Agree with me that right now this will be turned around in Jesus' name. Will you? Praise the Lord. Please close your eyes, bow your head. Let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, right now, we have the assurance in your word and in your truth, in you, Lord, that you have given us the victory through Jesus Christ. And Lord, right now, I stand against the word of the governor. I stand against, Lord, the decree of what he mentioned, the proclamation that he mentioned that in 2 weeks, we will be just as bad, if not worse, than New York or New Jersey, which are known right now to have the most cases of the coronavirus. Right now, I stand against those words by the power that is in the name of Jesus. And right now, I cover the state of Maryland with the blood of Jesus. Right now, I come against these words right now in Jesus' name. And may it be right now in Jesus' name that Maryland will have the fewest cases in the entire United States by the power that is in the name of Jesus. I come against it right now. Spirit of disease, be gone from this land in Jesus' name. And I pray for all of those right now that are infected with this disease, that it may be turned around in Jesus' name, and that they will know that the God of Israel was the one who healed, was the one who touched, was the one who turned it around. I claim the blood of Jesus right now in the entire state of Maryland. I claim the blood of Jesus right now in every single inhabitant in this state of Maryland. In Jesus' name. And may this be an example to everyone else that there is power in the name of Jesus, that there is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in his holy name. There is power, matchless power, in the name of Jesus. I speak against these words right now. I turn it around and I send it straight back to hell in Jesus' name. I call upon this land life. I call upon this land healing. I call upon this land restoration. I call upon the blood of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that we are more than conquerors through you, Lord. I thank you for the power that you have given every single one of us who love you. And right now, we claim the power of the Lord Jesus. right now, at this very instant. May the turnaround take place at this very moment, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, right now I pray for the salvation of the governor. I pray, Lord, that he will find you right now. I pray, Lord, that he will place his trust in you. I pray, Lord, that the peace and the love of Jesus will rest in his heart. Lord, I pray that he will place 100% trust in your word and know that we are covered by the blood of Jesus. Save that man, Lord. I pray for his salvation. I pray, Lord, for prosperity, for blessing in his life. I pray, Lord, that the fear of God will come upon him, and that he will turn his ways, turn his words around, that he will speak blessing instead of curse. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer this evening. Thank you, Lord, for all the saints who are interceding, Lord, for the land, for the whole United States. Thank you, Lord, that you have heard our prayer. And thank you, Lord, that you have started turning it around. We love you, Lord. We exalt your holy name. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.